Welcome back. A week from this Wednesday is the first day of school in Quincy, for the young ones at least, for the new school year. And we need to get a lot of information about some things to expect for the 2021-2022 public school year here in Quincy. So Superintendent Kevin Mulvey, Assistant Superintendent Aaron Perkins have been kind enough to come all the way over to our studios from the administration building and give us an update. So Kevin, Aaron, great to see you both again.
Good morning. Good to see you too. Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I mean, you know, I said to my director this morning, said the news segment is intentionally short today because you guys are the news.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know what the new school year is going to look like. But I thought maybe, Kevin, we could start with a little recap of how summer school went.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Summer school was a big hit. I have to thank the mayor and school committee for funding such an aggressive program for our students. So we had about 2,700 students participate.
Wow, is that typical?
No, yeah. Not at all. It's probably, what do we typically have? Anywhere between 500 and 600 students in any given year. So we had 2,700 students and about 300 staff participated.
Oh, wow, okay.
I have to thank the staff, thank the teachers, thank the guidance counselors, the principals who participated, SLT, Assistant Superintendent Perkins, who helped put the program together. It took a real team to get it done, and we managed to do it this summer, and I think the students and families really benefited from it.
It was all in person?
It was all in person, yeah. And particularly geared to those students who, since the pandemic began 18 months ago, were not in school. They were typically the remote students. We geared our programming towards them so that we could get them acclimated to in-person learning for September.
Sure. So parents were saying, I want my child to have some in-person instruction.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. And they certainly benefited from it. And we wanted to make sure we balance the curriculum that our students need while also making it extremely fun. And our staff certainly did that for our kids.
Because it's summertime.
Absolutely.
And they're in school, right?
Exactly. And we wanted to draw the students to fun activities, and it certainly seemed to work out very well.
Yeah, that's great. So do you feel then that they are kind of caught up?
I believe a lot of, certainly the students that participated in the summer program are certainly ready for September. There are a number of students though who still elected to remain remote and have been remote since March, when the pandemic began 18 months ago.
I know.
So we're really gearing now towards focusing on those students to help acclimate them back through orientation programs at every level.
Right.
And so we're hoping to make it clearly as safe. That's our number one priority, safe as possible, but also as comfortable as possible for our students to come back to school.
Because remote is no longer an option, right?
Correct. Yeah. By state guidance, the remote option is no longer available for our students. So it's full in-person learning for all students.
Okay, which is where all the COVID protocols will be already in place, I'm sure, over the summer, but will really come into play
absolutely,
in the fall.
Yes. And most of the COVID protocols from last year will remain in effect, except for some critical areas, which is the distance requirement is no longer in place.
Right. Because you really couldn't do both, right? You couldn't do full in-person and social distance. There's just not enough physical
space. That's
correct. Yeah.
There's not enough physical space. Yeah. So we are still distancing maximum distance possible without excluding students.
Okay.
And, of course, we have the mask mandate.
Yes.
We'll be maintaining all of our cleaning protocols. All of the personal protective equipment will be available. So we're talking about hand sanitizer, masks, cleaning stations. An uptick, obviously, in our cleaning protocols through our custodial staff, who have been fantastic. We will be basically just asking everyone to work together to maintain the safety of our students and staff. Similar protocols we followed last year and over the summer. And by doing so, there has been no in-school transmission, which I'm happy to report.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Student body of what? Almost 10,000 students.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had about half of that last year in the in-person,
right,
and then of course the almost 3,000 students this summer. But because people follow those protocols very carefully, we were able to keep the in-school transmission to zero. We're hoping to do the same in September. In addition to all of that, we're also in Mrs. Perkins is the in-house expert in this field, in this area.
Begrudgingly so, probably.
And we are implementing pool testing as well as a new initiative by the state, which is Testing's Day. Mrs. Perkins can talk about those two initiatives.
Yeah, please, Erin, if you could. I know you probably would rather be doing, you know, educational curriculum-motivated programs. However, this is the reality, right? COVID is still here.
It is. Yeah. We did pool testing last year. Right. So we're planning on doing that again. The state has agreed to fund that again, which we're very thankful for. And so there are a couple of new components to that, though. One is called the Test and Stay program.
Test and Stay.
Okay. Yes. So if a person or a student or a staff have been identified as a close contact to a COVID positive individual, they can immediately begin the Test and Stay program, which would allow them, as long as they remain asymptomatic or without symptoms, to be able to have a rapid antigen test every day for 7 days.
Okay.
And as long as the test remains negative and they don't develop any symptoms, they can remain in school, which is really an excellent opportunity for us, because we absolutely don't want kids quarantining at home for, it can be anywhere from 7 to 10 days, you know, depending on if they get tested or not.
Yeah, and while they're in school, can they just remain in the regular classroom? They don't have to separate at all?
They can remain in their regular classroom. Okay. Everybody will be wearing masks, as Superintendent Mulvey mentioned. Mm-hmm. And then at lunchtime, they do need to stay at least three feet away from any other, you know, individual.
Because
they're
unmasked at that time, obviously.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
If they do test positive, you know, if it comes back positive, then what happens?
So then they would immediately go home, you know, be dismissed or you know, potentially not come to school, depending on when we find
when
out
they
that,
the
they're, you know, that they're positive. And they would have to begin their isolation period for 10 days.
Okay.
So isolation is a minimum of 10 days, but it also is until your symptoms begin to resolve. So it's a 10-day isolation, but it could be longer depending on symptoms.
Okay. And does a student have to, or does a parent of a student have to opt in for the pool testing, or what is the verification
process? They
do.
That's a great question. Yeah. So they need to actually consent to there's three pieces that they need to consent to. They need to consent to the test and stay, or we call that symptomatic testing, diagnostic testing. And they can, they need to consent to the actual pool testing, which is their, all of the samples get put into a pool once a week and get sent off to a lab. That is a PCR test.
Yep.
And then the third piece is they need to consent to allow us to share the information with the Department of Public Health.
Okay. All right. And that's all from a parent's guidance, a parent's approval,
or
guardian.
Yes. So the parent will have a consent form.
Okay.
The parent will fill out the consent. We are hoping that we get lots of parents and families to participate, you know, right at the start of the school year. But if they, you know, decide after a little bit that they want to participate, they can do that too. It's a rolling sign up, so they don't have to decide today.
Okay.
And they can also, if their child has been identified as a close contact, we can also sign them up in the moment. Happens, if a parent is willing to.
Okay, so it's very flexible.
Yes.
You know, which, you know, really kind of has to be, given the situation is changing so quickly too.
Exactly.
What about vaccination requirements? Are there any, first of all?
There are no vaccination requirements, but students and staff who are vaccinated can still participate in the pool testing.
Okay.
They are an interesting category because they are actually exempt from isolation and quarantine protocols.
Oh.
So there's four groups that are exempt. They are one. The people that have been vaccinated are exempt from quarantine and isolation protocols as long as they remain asymptomatic.
Okay.
And students who are 3 feet or further away from the COVID positive person who are masked are also exempt from quarantine and isolation protocols. And then there is bus close contacts are also exempt from quarantine and isolation protocols.
Okay. Will there be any more vaccination clinics offered in the Quincy Public Schools?
Yeah. Yes. So we have partnered with Manit Community Health, and they have been fantastic since the vaccinations became available to our staff and now our students. We will continue to partner with Manit. I know Manit has reopened the Old Colony Center at least for Tuesdays to help with the increase in demand of potential vaccinations, but they've also have their typical Manit locations.
Yes.
For those interested, they can access that through the Manit website. We're also partnering our health services coordinator, Rita Bailey, has reached out to Walgreens, and they're going to be partnering with us not only for flu vaccines, but also COVID-19 vaccines.
Oh, okay.
And so we'll be working with them to set up vaccination times and locations for staff and students who are eligible, who may want to avail themselves of that. So I want to thank, obviously, Manit and also Walgreens for working with us to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But no mandate, right, for
no
students,
mandate.
Staff, or
no.
Visitors, for that matter, right? Correct.
There is no vaccine mandate for students, staff, or visitors.
Okay. What is the visitation policy, actually, to the Quincy Public Schools?
So we're going to try and make the school year as normal as possible, but also focused on staff and student safety. So we will have our normal orientation, parent orientation nights, making sure that safety protocols are followed, obviously masking, social distancing, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
We want to do that because we have parents who have not seen the inside of their child's school since the pandemic began 18 months ago.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm sure that they are anxious to see what their actual classroom, their child's classroom looks like in the building itself.
Yep.
So we're making that available this year. And then with regard to just general visitation, obviously we'll try and keep it to a minimum. When we can have a meeting done remotely, we'll certainly opt to do that.
Okay.
But certainly if a meeting calls for an in-person meeting, we can make that happen just following the safety protocols that we need to follow.
Okay. Yeah, I know we talked about this before we went on this morning, that remote of anything is not going away. You know, it's always an option.
Absolutely. Yes.
Are you prepared, and I have to ask, I'm sure you've been asked before, to go remote learning if necessary?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
So, yes, we are absolutely prepared. The mayor and the school committee have funded an additional 4,000 Chromebooks for us. Even prior to those additional Chromebooks, we are prepared, if necessary, to go remote. We had an informational meeting last week on Thursday evening for our families, where we had over 550 families participate. It was an excellent informational meeting.
Yeah.
At that meeting, we made clear that we are prepared to transition to remote if we have to.
Okay.
Hopefully that will never happen for everyone's sake.
Yeah.
But if we do, we are ready. We just ask that if it does happen, it may take a transition period to make it easy as possible for our students.
Mm-hmm.
We just ask for people's patience during that period. Obviously, we'll communicate continuously with our families if, in fact, that does happen.
Sure.
But again, hopefully not.
Exactly, yeah. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Absolutely, yes.
You mentioned parents might want to see the buildings. A lot of focus was placed on ventilation during the outbreak of the pandemic. Has that
absolutely
changed?
Yeah. And I do have to thank, again, the mayor and the school committee for funding all of the retrofits and upgrades for our ventilation system. This actually began last summer.
Yep.
And I have to thank, obviously, Commissioner Paul Hines and Mr. David Scott, who's the head of the HVAC system for the city of Quincy. They have last year, they basically retrofitted and upgraded the entire HVAC system throughout the school district. And then this summer, they have gone over it all again.
Okay.
And to make sure that our HVAC system is up and running and working at peak performance.
Okay.
And that's where we are right now. So we're ready for September. We will be obviously following the protocol of opening the windows 1 or 2 inches to help with the ventilation in all of the buildings.
Yeah, there's an air exchange. I've learned so much about it. We all have over the past year.
Air exchange
rates.
Yes, and MERV filters.
Yeah.
And all of the MERV filters are at their maximum for every building.
Right.
Each ventilation system is different
in
each building. But all of the filters have been replaced. Yep. They're at their maximum MERV rating. And again, Mr. Scott and his team did a great job in getting our schools ready to go for September.
What about just kind of regular updates, aside from the HVAC, paint, flooring?
Yep, all of that.
Okay,
I mean, it's been basically, there's been work going on throughout the district, painting and carpeting, and the auditorium at Broad Meadows is still being worked on. Hopefully we'll have that complete in December, January.
Okay.
Some of the materials related to that project were delayed, as many were, because of COVID. and that's unfortunate. We were hoping to have that completed by the summertime. But again, because of these delays, we're hoping now to have that completed by January, but that won't stop any of the orientation programs or parent meetings or student activities at Broad Meadows. Principal Dan Gilbert has that well in hand, and we expect everything to go smoothly there as well.
Okay. Speaking of principals, there'll be three brand new ones. Maybe, Aaron, you can give us a little preview of what's going on at North Quincy, also Lincoln Hancock, and Southwest Middle.
We're really excited. We have some really great additions to our team. So we have Keith Ford, who is the new principal at North Quincy High School. Keith has come to us from Needham High School, where he was the assistant principal. He previous to that was at Randolph High School, where he was a dean. Keith has been a football coach. He graduated from Northeastern. He has a great background, and we're really excited. He's got a lot of energy.
Okay.
So
he'll need it.
So he's got a lot of energy and a lot of great ideas, and we're just thrilled to have him join us.
That's great.
Then we have Derek Lakey, who is the new principal at Southwest Middle School. He is coming to us from Fall River, where he was the principal, assistant principal of Morton High School, I believe, in Fall River. He was in Fall River for a very long time, and he has a degree from Harvard in educational leadership. And again, another really great addition. They've all, you know, working really hard and excited for the opening of school. He's actually having a popsicle with the principal night on Tuesday. So any Southwest parents that are watching at 4 o'clock tomorrow, come on down and meet Derek, Mr. Lakey. He's excellent, and he and the staff will be there and ready to, you know, meet the new students.
Okay, and pass out popsicles.
Yes, and pass out popsicles. And we have thanked the PTO for that. They're sponsoring that evening.
So,
And then we have Natasha Jardinet, who is the principal at Lincoln Hancock. And she actually also has a degree from Harvard in curriculum and instructional leadership. She was has come to us from Waltham, where she was a mathematics instructor. And previous to that, she worked for Chicago Public Schools as an instructional leadership coach.
And with
a focus also on professional development. And she is excellent as well. She did already have her popsicles with the principal night, but all three of the principals are there. They all started this week. They're in the building. So if parents, we really encourage parents and families and students, if they would like to come down and meet them, absolutely, you know, give the school a call. They're there. If they want tours, we, as Mr. Mulvey said, we know that in all of our buildings, we have families who are very anxious about the return to school. We really strongly encourage them to contact their principal. The principals are doing tours all the time. You know, both high schools are doing small group tours, and then the other schools are also having orientation tours, especially for those students who might be entering seventh grade and have never been in the building.
So
we're providing all of those opportunities, and there'll be welcome back communications from each of our schools going out this week.
Should folks, parents or guardians, sign up for, is there a school dues letter they can sign up for? Or some kind of electronic communication?
All of our communication, the principals typically use Aspen. And it would go right to their email. So if they, if a parent is having trouble, they can certainly contact us, and we can help them, you know, get their Aspen passport situated. And I know a lot of families are really anxiously, especially in the elementary school world, awaiting the name of their homeroom teacher, classroom teacher.
Very important.
And so, so that would be how they would access that, would be through Aspen. But then, you know, we also post everything on our website as well.
It's very interactive and very up to date too. I check it all the time myself, make sure I know what's going on in the Quincy schools. I know that, Kevin, there was a major emphasis placed last year on making sure administration staff is representative of the diversity of the student body. So was that taken into consideration for
Absolutely.
These new principals?
Yes, it was definitely something that we wanted to make a priority here in the Quincy Public Schools. Clearly, we have to make sure that all candidates meet the qualifications for the position. And I'm happy to report that all of the candidates in question and the successful candidates, our new principals, not only meet the qualification but exceed those qualifications. They are an impressive group, and we're very excited to work with them, and I think that they will help really advance the cause of education here in the Quincy Public Schools with regard to making our staff more reflective of the student body population. That's certainly another priority that we had, and I think that in selecting these candidates, we've made some significant advances in making the principals more reflective of the student body that we serve here in the Quincy Public Schools.
One thing we can't neglect, Aaron, school buses. There's a shortage of drivers.
There is,
yeah.
Yes.
Not just for school buses, for truck drivers and bus drivers in general, but how is it impacting Quincy schools?
You know, our routes, we're really happy to say that our routes are, you know, we're making every effort to go back to what was previously. So before COVID, we would drive students who were 1.5 miles away or greater.
Right.
And then if there was room on the vehicle, they could, for a fee, you know, join that bus route. You know, then with COVID, unfortunately, we had to go to 2 miles.
Yes.
So we are currently able to go back to the 1.5 miles. School committee does have to vote on that.
Okay.
But we are, you know, moving in that direction and offering that support for our families and creating those routes based on the previous mileage. But it absolutely is a struggle. You know, we're definitely short bus drivers, and but you know, we're making it work, and we continue to advertise for those positions.
Okay, contact the main administration number if folks want
More
information.
Absolutely, yes.
Or,
as you mentioned, Kevin, the website as well.
Yes. And just if anyone is interested in being a bus driver, or a bus monitor, please reach out to us.
Okay.
Because as I said, I think since the pandemic began 18 months ago, we're down approximately 13 drivers and that many monitors. So anyone interested in becoming a bus driver or bus monitor, please reach out. We will actually train the applicants who would like to be a bus driver. So they don't necessarily have to have a bus driving license or certificate. They can just come in. We will help them in the training, actually do the training with them and get them their certificate.
All right.
So
good to know. Yeah. Excellent. Thank you both. Really appreciate it. Great to talk to you.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
Thank you
for having us.
Oh, pleasure. Have a very successful school year.
Okay.
Thank you very much.